Paul Russell, Little Boo Thing. It is that time of the week where I chat with this week's special guest. Sea Talks are having a chat on how trauma affects the body. Wednesday, the 12th of June, 2024 in Dolan's between 7 and 10. Dr. Clebundy is joining me on Spin. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me today.
Not at all. I am so excited to get into this because I feel like people are walking around with unsolved traumas and not realizing how it's affecting their body and mind. Trauma and its related symptoms are not all just in your head. Recent studies indicate that the effects of trauma on the body are often overlooked. Am I right in saying that?
Oh, absolutely. And often you might see that a person might have experienced trauma, but then might not be aware that what they're experiencing actually is trauma. It can be many years afterwards when a person starts to be able to realize, oh, when I'm feeling jumpy like this or when I'm feeling this way, that's due to that situation that happened to me in the past. And it's not something that people might necessarily know immediately, especially if they've been living with experiences of trauma for quite some time.
I couldn't agree more. I feel like it's only when people maybe go on the journey of, you know, healing or figuring out why they have certain behaviors, learned behaviors, they realize that, okay, this is because of, and traumas come in all shapes and sizes. It's not even just the big ones, Megan, am I right in saying? They can be the smallest things from your childhood up to the biggest things that can really affect you. Can you explain a little bit of how the trauma can show in your body?
Yeah, absolutely. So with what you're mentioning about the big things versus the small things, so I do research specifically, especially in children, and most of the definitions of trauma that are currently used to define what a traumatic episode is in adults, that was created and looked at in an adult population. So you're right, with what we're talking about, like smaller things that can happen to children can be traumatic effects, such as because children are being dependent upon their parents and their caregivers. And so things that children don't have that same sense of control. So other smaller things in the environment that might not impact adults could impact children, especially if they end up not having people around them who are able to make them feel protected and make them feel safe. And so that being said, when we talk about what can show up in your body, is that with trauma, it's interesting. We see this kind of split. Some of the symptoms are more associated with what we call hyperactivity, not hyperactivity, but hyperreactivity. And so a person might be more keyed up and on edge. They might startle more easily, and they might notice that like their fight and flight system in their body is almost overly sensitive to triggers that remind them of the trauma. But on the other hand, we also then see a dampening of the system. So we see a numbing that might happen for people, or they might dissociate or disconnect or avoid. So trauma is interesting because it very much so mirrors an aspect of what's going on in the nervous system of the body, either this hyperreactivity or this kind of break in this numbness. And so we definitely see that these patterns are present.
And it really affects how you live and how you operate. I love that you touched there. There is so much to the nervous system. The nervous system is the driver in us. And when people disassociate and when people go into fight, flight or freeze mode, like that's essentially a mechanism to protect yourself from, you know, the previous traumas that you've learned. Am I right in saying?
Oh, absolutely. So all of these experiences that people are having, these are adaptive experiences that are designed in our brains and bodies to keep us protected and to keep us from being able to get out of harm's way. However, it can be problematic because our bodies can then end up being either overly sensitive to cues in the environment or cues in your thoughts that might be related to the trauma, or you can also be engaging more in this numbing that happens for you. So yes, absolutely, I agree with what you're saying.
And it does. Like, I have been very open about my story, and I have went on the healing journey, and I'm very invested on learning anything about this, because it's just so intriguing to know that there are so many people out there that might feel that, you know, they have mental health issues or they're feeling low, but really it's learned behaviors like disassociation. If you're disassociating from things in everyday life, you're blocking out, you know, making memories, you have loss of memory, and that can really affect you in the long term, can't it?
It absolutely can. So recently I conducted a really large fMRI meta-analysis in children who've experienced trauma and maltreatment. And we're absolutely seeing what you're talking about is that memory parts of the brain are impacted, but also parts of your brain that are involved in executive functioning. So what I mean by that, your ability to inhibit, your ability to shift and organize and plan things. Also, your sense of parts of the brain involved in your sense of self, your emotion processing and ability to deal with reward in the environment, and your ability to detect signals from your body. All of those things are impacted with what we see in the neural networks that are in children who've experienced trauma. So it is definitely, it is coming from your body, and your brain is impacted by these things, and it impacts your memory, but it also can impact a lot of those other aspects as well that can really make it hard, for example, for kids to do really great in school, or for adults to be able to focus on various different tasks in life that they really need in order to feel like they're being productive.
That's for sure. And if you are in a state of freeze or disassociation for a long time, and then you go on that journey, or it just, you know, you open yourself up to what has happened, like, what effects can that have on the nervous system when you really let everything in to feel it all? What effects show up in the body?
Well, so that actually can be a part of the healing process, is to be able to go there and to dive into some of the experiences that have caused your brain and body to dissociate and to disconnect. But you want to do it in a way where it's in an environment that where you're safe, where you've learned some degree of some coping skills to help deal with the bodily experiences that you might end up having. And then being able to dive into those things with a therapist who's very well trained, who can help you recognize, I think that you're dissociating right now. I don't notice that you're here. Do you notice that in yourself? So you can start to recognize and label, when I think of this thought, this might happen to me in my brain and my body. So actually being able to slowly go there in an environment where you're with somebody that you trust, who understands trauma and can move you through it, is so incredibly important. But yes, like you had mentioned, you might notice that people might dissociate not be able to kind of process their trauma in the moment because they might be experiencing this flooding of these feelings. And so your brain might kind of numb out at that time, and or your brain might end up kind of becoming hyper-reactive to focusing on what is going on in your environment to keep you safe. So yes, I exactly agree that that can happen, but also going there in a safe context can be really healing.
Oh yes, for sure. That is the way forward to be able to live a healthy life and be the best version of yourself. I love that you said there, it's in your reactiveness as well, because someone can be reacting in sadness, anger, dissociation, and you know, some other people, family members, friends could look and say, you know, what is going on with them? But really, they're reacting to something that might have happened in the past. It's endless. It's endless, Megan. This topic is it can go so, so deep. But I'm urging my listeners in the Southwest today to look up, you know, you're going to be chatting for Dolan's Sea Talks on Wednesday, the 12th of June. You're going to go into depth with this conversation at that, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to be talking all about the science because this is what I'm looking at in my research. So I'm specifically studying how the brain and the body are impacted by trauma, especially in childhood. So we will be diving into that 100%. But you're right. It's a huge, huge topic. And we'll try to cover what we can specifically in the time that we have during the talk. But I also agree with you about what you're talking about. It can be a variety of things that can trigger a person's experience. It can be a thought that might be associated with a previous event or even a feeling or an emotion. It could also be a smell. That's a huge trigger for some people who are experiencing trauma. So it might not necessarily be clear, and you might not necessarily be aware of the extent of those cues in your environment or even in your mind that might lead you to kind of engaging in these traumatic responses.
And you have to watch for those things, Megan, because some people can live in survival mode for so long that, you know, you have exhausted your nervous system. There's people that think, oh my God, why am I so tired waking up? Why am I so tired going to sleep? Why am I not succeeding? Why have I brain fog? Why can't I operate like other people? But in actual fact, your body has been living in survival mode or fight, flight or freeze mode for so long that you've exhausted your nervous system, and that's when it starts to show in the physical, is when you're not able to do your daily tasks, you're finding everything hard, you're reacting in the wrong way, and that's a sure sign, isn't it? It's a sign that, you know, to look into this side of it. You might think that I'm just exhausted, but if you really look at your day and compare it to times before, or if you've always lived that way, it's the best piece of advice I could ever give anyone, is to just look into the correct therapy, or, you know, what did happen in my past, or why can't I remember my childhood and there's big blocks of it missing? Because if you go on this journey, it is so rewarding, Megan, isn't it, that you can live a life at peace and really operate from a place of your best self.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100% that it's hard work, but it's important work. And while you're going through it, it is difficult because your body wants to avoid, your brain and your body wants to avoid what's scary, but it is what you need to do to really be able to kind of understand and be able to come out on the other end of it. And like you had mentioned before, if you're chronically in this state of hyper arousal all of the time, it's like that sympathetic nervous system. It's that gas pedal in our bodies. It's on all the time. And the braking system, the parasympathetic nervous system, that slows our heart rate down. It slows our breathing down. It allows for us to be able to relax in our organs, to be able to process information that it should and carry out its normal functions. And so you're right. If you're constantly in this alert mode, then it does over time. It's like the braking system burns out and you feel exhausted, and it just kind of leads to this kind of body and brain kind of shutdown. And like you had mentioned before, it's just that exhaustion that if people are feeling that all of the time and they know that they've had some difficult things that they've experienced, it would be great to check that out and to talk to a provider and say, hey, I'm noticing this is happening. Do you think it would be helpful for me to, you know, potentially look into getting a diagnosis or getting treatment to better understand what could be going on here?
That's for sure, Megan. And people, if people are finding it hard to grasp what we're speaking about, the best way I feel I could describe it is like people that know anxiety. They know that they feel like there's constantly something worrying them, or they're always worrying about something in the future, a week, or constantly thinking about tomorrow, what I have to do. That could be a true signal that your brain is, you know, constantly working for a reason. It's working because you're covering something that you don't want to address. Am I right in saying?
Absolutely. It's kind of like a broken alarm system. Your alarm system naturally goes off in an adaptive way to help you be able to do behaviors to keep yourself safe. But if you're constantly in the safe where that alarm is constantly going off to all of these different cues, yeah, you're going to be feeling that anxiety about the future and all of these different things that are going on.
Yeah, Megan, I could talk to you all day about this. Unfortunately, I am running out of time. But again, you will be talking in more depth. Dolan's Wednesday, the 12th of June, 2024, between 7 and 10. And where can people, are you on social media? Can people go and follow you or look at what you do?
So I work at the University of Essex, and so I have some papers up there. I'm actually in the process of creating for myself a new webpage so that people can get more access to information in my studies that way. But I'm over at the University of Essex.
Amazing. Megan, again, thank you so much for taking the time to join me on Spin Now.
Yeah, so it was lovely chatting with you.
Thanks, Megan. Let's continue with the music now. It is Sonny Vadera. It is Mine Still.